Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. The title for this Sunday is All Saints Sunday. I read several articles this week just trying to get a sense of how this particular liturgical day came into being and how we see it these days. And there is a certain irony attached, particularly in Western European culture, about All Saints' Day. In some other cultures, particularly in some Latinx cultures, in Haitian culture, certainly in Madagascar, the care and remembrance of the full community of saints is a fuller and richer practice among those cultures. Early Europeans turned their noses up at the practice of, for instance, in some parts of African culture, the cleaning of bones and reburying them, the presence of and the sense of those who had passed away remaining in and with and a part of the greater community of the living. In some parts of Mexico, particularly in Guanajuato, one feels the presence of the dead keenly and closely. You can commune with those who passed away. In Guanajuato, you can take a tour, if you want to the mummies. Much of the town is built over a mine that now has been transformed into underground roads and chambers, and you can literally go for a tour. And at least when I last visited there many years ago, you could take the mummy tour. But it was infected in the whole culture, this thin veil between the living and the dead. In our gospel lesson for today, John recounts that thinnest of veils. When Mary comes to Jesus and kneels at his feet, he had known that Lazarus was sick and did not come, and she says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." He was moved. The gospel tells us he was greatly disturbed in spirit, deeply moved. "Where have you laid him?" he asks. Well, you all know how the story goes. There is a stone over Lazarus's tomb, a stone reminiscent of one that we will move away again later in this year. And Jesus says this incredible four words that I think I want to concentrate on today. Take away the stone. Take away the stone. With those four words, Jesus violates about 47 codes. The dead are unclean. The dead are to be left where they are, unseen, in darkness, mysterious. But Jesus says these four words, "Take away the stone." And they do. And Jesus says to Mary, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And the stone is rolled away, and Jesus says simply to his old friend Lazarus, "Come out." And he does. Hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, looking just as he had when they laid him to what they thought was his final rest. There's been a lot of speculation over the years about what this story means. Rationalists say, well, he wasn't quite dead, he was just in a coma. Non-believers say it's just another story to try and show that Jesus was some great magician. Others of the faith say this is a precursor to the resurrection, which would be Jesus' resurrection. But none of those reasons are why Jesus brings Lazarus from the dead. I think in this story, Jesus rolls back the stone of death in a way that we can see and hear and experience for our own. Recently, my father-in-law passed away, just a couple of weeks ago. He had spent his whole life burying people, accompanying them to their deaths. He was a pastor for, 65 years or more, almost 70 years. There was a lot of grief and funerals and near-death experiences under his belt. And we watched over the course of the last few months as death found its way to him. It was a reminder for all of us that we will all go that way. And that in the end, all the medicine, all the prayers, all the false hopes, all of the wishful thinking in the world cannot, at least for us, stifle what must come. The stone will be rolled over our graves someday. What Jesus reminds us today is that when that stone is rolled over our graves, it is not for us an ending, not a finality. Now, I don't mean or ascribe to some idea that when we die, we suddenly are transported to the equivalent of an ecclesiastical Disneyland where everyone has a permanent e-ticket and life is fun. I don't ascribe to that at all. But what seems clear, not only from this gospel in John, but from the ministry of Jesus, is that in our death we are drawn into the fullness of life of God. I don't know what that looks like or what it means. But that somehow we move from the community which surrounds us in life to that greater community that surrounds us in God. What I worry about is that we constantly and prematurely roll the stone over our own graves before our bodies or our minds or our spirits are ready. I think that shows itself greatest in the kind of devolvement of the community of the living. We're perfectly happy to talk about the community of saints as some ideal out there, but we spend less time understanding what it means to be a community today, as loved by and cherished by and driven by God as the community of saints. I worry that we cut ourselves off from one another, either through personal preference, or laziness, or old grudges, or new arguments over and over again, psychologists and psychiatrists and community developers talk about how our communities are being wedged apart as individualism, misogyny, racism, the divides of wealth, you name it, become the tombs into which we insert ourselves. When we cut ourselves off from the greater community, we name for ourselves our own kind of grave. It turns out most of us need each other. Sometimes we don't even know that. Sometimes we buy into the idea that our church or ourselves or our job or our marriage or our family is some kind of singular and sufficient entity for life itself. In a way, we roll over our own tomb the immovable stone and cut ourselves off from one another. If, in fact, there is the communion of saints, which I truly believe, then it must begin in the communion and community of the living, which sees in each of us a creation that God loves without limit. Jesus, on that day, goes to the grave and says, "Take away the stone." I think those same words are needed for the living. Roll away the stone. The stone that drives us apart. The stone of selfishness. The stone that sees the other as less than human. The stone that drives my heart, something we see so much in politics, to do what is best to be reelected and not what is best for the sake of those who are most in need. Roll away the stone. It may be, at least in some experts' opinion, already to the point where we stink and where our bodies are already rotting. But Jesus is calling us from the grave to say yes to life and to one another and to love and to expansiveness. Christ is calling us to roll away the stone so that we can see again in one another the beloved creation of God. And instead of finding our own slow and impending death, we are being called to life. As we read the prayer of the day this morning, it says, "Grace, grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you." I would change one thing. And to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those you love. For in Christ's love, the stone is rolled away. Alleluia. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day.